Electric Boogaloo one last time for season 2, Nerds, Jocks, and Preppies, and we will be talking about Up the Creek tonight. So I am your host, 8th Dan Stan Adu. I'm afraid to say that Brad won't be joining us today because he is, and this is this time so wonderfully, he is off whitewater rafting tonight. So that is crazy. He's been trying to text me on the boat. I mean, on the raft. Like, that's just nuts. But so is Brad.
That seems unsafe.
Completely unsafe. Yes, but that's just Brad for you. All right. Well, you've heard Jim talk. So how you doing, Jim?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here for the season finale, and I just want to say hello to all of my fellow alumni from Lopatomaine University.
All right, Lobotomy U! Okay, next up, we got Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I like that Brad does research, because we certainly don't.
And finally, bringing up the rear, we got Blackjack Hall.
What's up, sweethearts? Yo, Stan, I got to compliment you. Your laugh, like, by the 8th episode of this season that you're doing at the beginning, is so much better than the first episode.
Oh, man. I tell you, that laugh, it takes some practice. when I hear it on the episodes afterwards, I'm like, oh, fuck, I hate that laugh.
But you've gotten finally there. You nailed it here.
All right, that's great. So finally, when we come back in a couple of years to tackle Nerds, Jocks,
oh, dude, you'll have forgot by then.
I'll totally need to relearn it. Yes.
Did you say we were coming back in a couple beers?
I said a couple of years.
Because I'm on board.
But yeah, we're going to do another 8 Nerds, Jocks, and Preppies movies and 2 beers.
I think there were at least 6 or 7 just Revenge of the Nerds sequels, so that'll fill up the season quite well.
They're sitting right beside me. I mean, it'll be great. TV, nothing like TV movies to really bring the nudity. All right. Well, we are here not to talk about Revenge of the Nerds, no. But we are here to talk about Up the Creek, because we're up the creek without a paddle. So, Nick, why don't you tell us all about Up the Creek?
Okay. We catch up with our 4 heroes once again, about to get kicked out of whatever university that's on this week. But they're giving one more chance to graduate, and that is to win a whitewater rafting competition, because that's a thing. Nudity and hijinks ensue. Not too plot heavy, and this movie may feature the oldest college students I have ever seen.
That is totally fair, but I would like to say that I have been very impressed with your descriptions of the movies this season, Nick, because I'm pretty sure that every single episode has featured hijinks ensue.
I think it's the genre. Really, it's, you know, setup, jokes, boobies, the end. And really, I don't want to give away any of the jokes, so hijinks ensue. Describing boobies for any longer than I already do could come off creepier than I mean it to. So hijinks ensue is a nice encapsulating phrase.
Yeah, and I think about half the movies, like the special boobies at the end. Like it, but half the movies have revolved around seeing really great boobies right at the very end of the film. That's this one, you don't get that joy. You get like a different kind of story arc, character development wise.
It's definitely it's a much different movie than I mean, I guess not a much different movie. It's definitely got a similar formula, but this one is a much bigger budget film, and you can tell that pretty much right off the bat. This is like an actual,
it's also much different than the way I remember it, like the way I remember, you know, like seeing it now, it's like, oh yeah, it's not the film that I remembered at all. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Not necessarily in a bad way, except for in the nudity. Boy, is this film light on the nudity. And as a kid, you, of course, you know, we're like, hey, there's tons here, because mm-hmm. any yeah. is tons, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I wanted to, when we were selecting this season, this was one I wanted to put into the mix, because much in the way that Loose Screws for Stan was his childhood movie, this was mine. This was my mom, who did not pre-screen movies for me, allowed me to rent a couple of movies for my 13th birthday party, and this was one of the films we watched.
Nice.
So it was the first time I saw boobies on screen, and one of my best friends.
Oh,
was,
so and you never forget the first movie you masturbate to.
That's right. one of my best friends at the time, he was a year younger than me because he had skipped a grade, so more than a year younger than me, and it was the first time he saw boobies on screen. I saw him a couple of years ago, 30 years later, and he noted, hey, Up the Creek. Remember that? remember we watched Up the Creek, and we were way, way too young to be watching a movie like that. And your mom rented it for us and then just left. Like, yeah, it was a different time.
This is the only movie I have ever seen in the theater with my father.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
That's amazing. He took me this. He was forced babysitting or something, and he took me to this movie.
That's awesome.
Apparently, yeah, Up the Creek really does mean a lot to people here.
I do remember more nudity, though, for some reason.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm wondering if we got a cut that wasn't quite fully. Because specifically the hot tub scene. I remember nudity in the hot tub scene.
There is nudity in the hot tub scene.
I remember the three girls popping up.
No, yeah. I don't think that happened.
It is very, very brief. I mean, there's actually quite a number.
I did own this on VHS as well. So yeah, my imagination, on rewatches might be factoring in there.
Well, certainly on VHS, I mean, that pause button makes those topless scenes seem to last a lot longer. You had a slow button.
And I think that's it. This was one of those movies not really successful, but one of those movies that was a big video, mm-hmm. you know, rental movie because of, you know, hey, nudity. And it had some, you know, legit stars. So yeah. He didn't seem like such a perv renting it. I'm renting it for the guy from Animal House, not for the tits.
I mean, I love Tim Matheson. He's great. And I really enjoy him in these kind of movies. You know, the reason that I rented it, and I'll tell you, I'm still pissed to this day. I rented it because I wanted to see them go in that fucking raft that's on the cover. And never once do they have a, like, blow-up doll raft. Nope.
Oh, God, I forgot about the poster. Oh, man, that was a great poster. I'm mm-hmm. going to buy that poster. My room needs that poster. That's a great poster, yes. Yeah.
That is a great poster.
That is a great poster, yeah.
And when you look at that poster, all you can think of is, man, like, how can this not be awesome? They're, like, whitewater rafting with like a blow up sex doll.
And we don't get nearly enough time of Jennifer Runyon in a bikini like she is in the poster either.
Yeah, exactly. The world's smallest bikini, and yeah, but it says, I like it, it says, who says a bunch of boobs can't win a race? Subtle marketing.
Oh man. It's good.
I now remember my dad getting in trouble from my mom for taking this movie. And when he said, I didn't know, she pointed at the poster.
That really makes sense.
Dad just wanted to see some breasts.
Look at the poster. There's boobs on the raft. How could you not know?
It's just, you know, just not paying any attention. That's okay.
So I love that the description of this film says that the Tim Matheson's character is in his 12th year of college. He must have been held back a few other years because he was actually 37.
That is fantastic. Wow. my God.
He's 37, but the guy, look at him. He could easily play 30.
Yeah. That's right. He's got one of those faces that he could play a bunch of different ages, anywhere from 30 to 40.
The other Animal House star was not looking too young here either.
Stephen First, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? He must have been pissed when Artie Lang got to Hollywood and took all his roles.
It was wonderful getting the two of them together again, though.
Oh, yeah.
Animal House is such a classic, and to see these two guys, get some more screen time.
Now, was white water rafting a thing that colleges were doing? Like, how did it, like...
I assume that someone has...
Dude, now I have to look up Whitewater Raft College race to see if there is a national championship.
See who won the championship in 1984. That's what's really important.
Because it's an odd combo. This like, college frat thing and...
Let's get into this, because the plot of this is that Lepeda Main University, and I'm waiting for Jack's... nerd alert on that one.
That means the fart master in French. So.
Yes, I actually found recordings on YouTube of Lou Petamain was a specific performer who performed musical farting.
Yeah.
You can find recordings of old lacquer recordings of his farting on YouTube.
Now, did you press play?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just there are two reactions when you come across that video. I don't want to go there. And yes, I'm all in.
He's doing research for the show.
Yeah. I mean, how could I pass up? I mean, it's an audio YouTube clip. I mean, I'm not sure that, like, the worst that's going to happen is it's going to mess up my recommendations for a couple of weeks.
Whitewater Raft College Championship, when you Google that, it takes you to the National Rafting Championship, but not anything that's college related.
So you mean they invented something?
I know.
Have you guys ever been?
They invented a shit ton for this thing.
Have you ever been whitewater rafting?
I've been rafting that ever so briefly moved into a slightly bigger current. that's
Jack,
about it.
Jack, any whitewater rafting? You're
somebody asked me once if we wanted to go, and I asked if I could do it from my couch, and they never got back to me.
Yeah, that's I honestly don't do it on a couch. That's unsafe.
I'm waiting till strip white water rafting becomes a thing before fully committing to the sport.
Honestly, I have gone whitewater rafting once, and without hyperbole, I almost died. I fell out of the boat over rapids.
Now I'm
through rapids.
Now I am scared to death for Brad.
Brad's an experienced rafter. He's more of an outdoorsman than I was. I gone with Lacey, my wife, and family. I did go over these rapids. I had a life jacket on, of course, but it's incredibly dangerous once you're in the water.
Sorry, I don't think I've ever met your wife. What's her name?
Lacey Underall. From a long line of Underalls. So, having that knowledge of how close I came to dying with a professional, leading my whitewater rafting trip, other people on the trip that had been experienced, I cannot get my head around how they picked four random guys from the school and said, go win a whitewater rafting competition.
Especially the Stephen First character. Actually, no, wait, all of them. There's not a single one of these characters that when you look at, you're like, oh yeah, he's got the brains to figure out white water rafting. No.
Well, it's not like that's something they were good at outside of school, or that's something they got caught doing where they weren't supposed to be doing. Like, they're whitewater rafting in the school pool or something. No, they have absolutely no experience in a boat.
Yes, they are the worst students at the school. That is the only
that's
reason.
But it
shows. Well, clearly, we got one
clearly the most athletic.
Exactly. Well, we got one. The school may only have four students.
We got one character in here who actually goes into DTs halfway through this movie because he hasn't had a drink.
Man, that character, I mean, when you talk about that, I mean, constantly having a flask, you know, just like pulling up.
I mean, I'm all for the depiction of, you know, college drinking, but at some point it gets sort of dark. When you physically, when addiction takes that far in,
officially,
especially when we're looking at college students this old.
I love the running gag through the film that the one of the characters, is it Max? I guess is his name. Keeps making drinks for everyone, and no matter what they ask for, he hands them a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
When you look on IMDb through the pictures of the movie, it's amazing how many show people holding alcohol in their hands.
Oh, I mean, this movie knew what it wanted out of an audience. There is absolutely no question about that. It's about drinking, and then it's about it because basically the concept is really simple. I mean, it's like everybody goes to the whitewater rafting race. But then it's like, okay, well, how are we going to allow these characters to you know, even look halfway competent at this? And that's when you wind up getting all the extra stuff, like the military school and the hijinks that ensue because of them, and all the like missiles and drones and grenades, and it's just like, oh my lord, there's so much artillery getting thrown around in this movie.
Dude, I gotta say, as I was looking through these pictures, I've run across the if you think that the poster we have is blatant, you should see this one from another country. Like, we'll gotta put we'll this drop, in the write up.
We'll have to drop that into the show notes. Is that the Das Turbogeli gummy boot?
Yes, I mean not that the one before that isn't, but that Das Turbogeli. Oh my god!
Was anyone else distracted by the fact we only had four teams from three universities in this race?
That's not true.
That is not true.
The bad guys sabotage a whole bunch of other teams at the very beginning of the race.
Yeah,
oh, they eliminate like 8 or 10 teams like before they've even started.
Yeah, because I think we started with like 9 teams or something.
Yeah,
because like
there's a Jewish team. There's I think we got like 6 or something actually make it out of the water, because there's Wisconsin and Texas, the girls' team, the military team has been eliminated.
Forgot about the guys in the cowboy.
There's a whole bunch that launch at the same time, and then immediately their rafts go under.
Yeah, because the bad guys have sabotaged them with high explosives.
Hey, are you still looking at the pictures? You still have them nearby? Because you need to see the other one that says, but they just had the time of their lives for up the creek. Can you see that one there, Jim?
That's a great image of something that does not happen in the movie. That's
no, but boy, is it obvious. Oh my god, it's just the guys just in these pictures just looking towards a girl with nipples hard against her swimsuit, and the tiny little swimsuit and huge breasts.
All right, yeah. What a great podcast we got going on right now. Let's describe movie posters.
We're not at all talking about the movie. Is the amazing thing, there's tons to talk about in the movie. Let's go through the movie a little.
Did the actual switchblade paddle ever come into play?
I don't know that it did.
I don't think so. I don't think he actually ends up using it after.
Disappointing. Yeah. That was a cool little prop they built.
That's like a good Jim Cotta thing, though, where you show all these a bunch of tools and then don't use them.
They don't need it, though, because they managed to take the lobotomy U and skewer it like three times anyways. Of course, yeah. They just keep preparing it and get back on and are practically caught up already.
That thing exploded. It exploded. Yeah, it
literally exploded. With it.
Well, little
mini torpedoes in it. It blew up. But the guys at the beginning who were screwed, they did not have the technology to repair theirs. All the other universities did not have this technology.
Credit where credit's due. They use a remote control plane to launch missiles at Lepetamine's boat, thus paving the way for drone technology.
Yeah.
that's exactly it. Oh, man.
This was not the military school that did this, by the way.
No, it's the rich kids who just buy off the winning of the race. They buy it off by the main judge is going to look the other way while they use, as we noted, several cases of high explosives, timed explosives on people's rafts to give themselves an edge.
What I want to know,
they must have needed that edge because they just barely were ahead of the team that had never rafted before,
even after blowing them up three times.
There's a lot of things.
Like, I'm sorry, I want to know. Okay, so he got paid $5,000 for handing them two suitcases of artillery, like of missiles and bombs, like
military grade equipment,
and all that stuff. And I'm like, where do you have this? That $5,000 is like a good payday for you to to hand them this, plus buy off the refs.
Well, that's the thing is that's what he said is if even if your sabotage doesn't work, my officials will disqualify them, and then we never see refs or officials or judges through the whole fucking movie, not one time. Hey,
so it is just like Gymkhana. But
this is Gymkhana actually might be more common than we want to even admit.
You know, as a spiritual sequel, it kind of works.
I mean,
things in this movie do explode that shouldn't explode. So
yes. They know as much about rafting as he did about martial arts. So, you know, it's all working out.
There's a scene right, about 15 minutes in where they drive their vehicle and they pull up to get gas. And Stephen First character winds up, they wind up distracting the guy, the gas jockey, so that they can steal gas, and then the one girl, our heroine, comes in there and asks him to, and pays him to fill up the car, so he winds up sneaking the gas into her car as well, and then tries to get it out, and I love the way that he's like, handling the gas. It's like he's never pumped gas a day in his life, so he's like holding up the gas and it's flowing out of the
gas. It's the early 1980s. He actually may not have ever pumped gas.
Yeah, that is fair. But man, oh man, he must have smelled really bad after that, because you get a little bit of gas on you and that smells really bad. I think he bathed in gas in that scene.
Yes, and all of that gets billed to the rich kids, and their gas total for 1984 comes to $213.37 to gas up their RV.
The rich guy Rex, he just tosses him money and says, "Keep the change."
That's right.
Like, yeah,
and,
I mean,
and he tossed it in like, Stephen First character. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah, what do I care? No, I mean, the thing about Rex is, now, number one, he looked an awful lot like a guy who used to work at the Blockbuster I rented from. But in fact, that's not who he is. Did any of you recognize him?
I feel like
he was familiar, but I couldn't place him.
He played a young teenage Clark Kent in Superman the movie with, at the time.
Oh, wow.
Different hair color.
He's the water boy Clark Kent.
He is the water boy Clark Kent.
That's crazy. He
changed the hair color. Look back and remember him, because in this
is absolutely
long.
Yeah.
Changed the hair color. That's him, Jeff East.
Nice.
6 years later, he's doing this movie.
Oh man. So then I like it that everybody goes to the bar, which is one of the oddest scenes in the movie, because there's like so much going on, but really the only thing that we actually care about is the one character who's so drunk they attempt to have to tie him to the chair because he's going to fall off. But it basically does is set up, you know, Bob and Heather, Bob and Heather, you know, to go off and have sex in the, is that the fastest?
Tim Matheson moves. He does not mess around.
We got this season has brought us some really fast moving relationships, yeah. but this might be the fastest moving relationship that we had.
I think aside from maybe the principal's wife
that didn't feel like a relationship per se
these two are in love. They're not just going off to bang. There's genuine affection here.
There's going to be the period afterwards where you could see the picture of them and the baby and the, you know, the 12-year-old baby and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know at his advanced age you should be bringing children into the world, but
you know, probably not. but I mean, that's all the celebrities are doing that nowadays, right? So
that's right. Well, hey, he did play the father of Van Wilder, who's essentially the exact same character in the movie.
I love the meta of that, of having Tim Matheson play that character in Van Wilder.
Oh, that's so good.
So there, you know, you mentioned there's not as many boobs as we remember, but there's my favorite boob scene in this is right as the raft race is about to start, the crowd's kind of and someone's trying to get them all excited, and they're going and then she opens up her top. And then they all cheer her boobs.
That's one of those WTF moments.
And then get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, that's one of those. It's like, that's how you, because it's not just like she just opens it up and everybody cheers. And it's like old women and
it's completely
not
playing.
The audience that you'd think would react so crazy.
It is weird. One of the things that I noticed, like, now I want to get this out of the way, because my memory of this was actually that I didn't like Up the Creek, and I felt gypped not just because of the raft, but because I don't remember that much nudity from Up the Creek from when I was a teenager. And so I had only seen it the one time, and I was just like, there's no fucking tits in this. And so I'm almost wondering if I got like a blockbuster edit or something like that.
Switch right there.
Yeah, you guys are talking about how you remember like there being more, and I'm like, wow, there's like a lot more in here than I remember. But
oh god, man, there's at the gas station, the RV, the rich kid's RV, a girl falls out of the door, and she doesn't have a top on, and she immediately stands up and goes back into the RV. Now, my memory is that scene was 45 minutes long. In reality, it's about 8 frames. That's the first, I mean, you actually see boobs earlier in the film, but that's like the first full on, these are boobs moment of this movie. And that's the one that's burned into my 13-year-old memory.
But man, one thing about this movie is this movie takes forever to finally get to the actual rafting. It's like 45 minutes to finally get to the main plot point of the story.
That first rafting scene is at least 2 hours long. Yeah, on there. I'm like, how many times do we have to see them do the exact same thing? It's slow. Now it's fast. It's slow. Now it's fast.
And we should mention the fact that the military team is trying to sabotage one of the other, badly sabotage one of the other team's rafts, and Tim Matheson's character winds up not really foiling him in any way, but hindering him so that the military team gets disqualified. And so it's kind of like, as you're watching it, you don't really remember the story. You're just like, wow, the military team got disqualified? Like, is this, was there even a point to having the minute? And then you're like, of course. Because they're going to come back and spend the rest of the movie attempting to destroy Tim Matheson's character any way they can. And again, there's the hijinks ensuing because they just show up at random points and and just attack. One thing that I appreciate the dog. The dog is a great character in this.
Yeah, Jack, the Wonder Dog.
It's
let's save that for the WTF.
that point absolutely is a WTF, and I'm sure we're probably talking about the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get into scoring here because I think we've talked about kind of the broad strokes of the narrative, and it's time to get some specifics down here. All right, so in our search for the ultimate B movie. We rate our movies on five categories, giving a 1 out of 10 to each, a 0 to 10 for each category, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
All right. Well, this movie is pretty good. It doesn't feel as schlocky as some, so I'm only going to go with a 6.
I'm going with 8 for the poster alone.
Oh, yeah.
The boobs on the raft certainly height the schlock factor.
Man, yeah, if we were rating the poster, then it's an 11.
You haven't even seen these other two posters we're talking about. Wait till you see them. I gotta go right in the middle here and split the difference. Go 7.
7. All right. Well, I have fond memories of this movie from my childhood. VHS classic. I'm going to give it a 6. all right. Our next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Well, this movie had a $7 million budget. So I know where they put it. They put it in explosives.
explosives and music rights. That's where
and actors. So I got to go pretty low on this one. I'm going to go with a 3.
I'm going with a 5. It's, college sex comedy. Let's just hire a couple guys from Animal House. They did it once. They can do it again.
And they definitely did.
it's got a certain sweetness to it. And you know, I mean, yeah, it was $7 million, but trust me, even back in 1984, if you're doing anything on water, you could have easily spent $30 million. So I think that the $7 million, they got quite well for it. I'll give it a good 6.
All right. Well, I do think I'm balancing. You know, there's a bit of grading on a curve that happens as we do our search for the ultimate B movie, and that you could have made 7, possibly 8 loose screws with that kind of money.
Not with this soundtrack.
But you know, great, yeah, terrific soundtrack. Well, it's no Loose Screws
Breaking Away.
See? Although I have thought about picking up the vinyl of this soundtrack because there's some great tunes on this. I'm going to give it a 5. All right. Our next category is called the What the Fuck Moments.
Well, start.
All right. Well, I think the moment that we are truly talking about is the charades with the dog. So one of the characters, I forget which one, has been kidnapped by the army team. And so the dog, Tim Matheson's Bob sends the dog out to find him. And then the dog comes back, and rather than like immediately just leading him there, they have to play charades with the dog to find out where
because they insulted the dog, he was having a bit of a hissy fit too.
That's right. So at one point, and this is definitely something that I had marked down, that they wound up with down liver. And my favorite thing is that one of them comes up with down liver. That's Japanese for down river.
Yeah.
Not to mention the dog actually pulls specific props out to help the charade process. He pulls out both steak and liver.
Yes.
Look, this dog. This dog's introduction is him sitting there with headphones on, listening to music. I went, "What the fuck?" Right there.
The dog character is absolutely fantastic. Like this, this is an amazingly trained dog, and I mean, it's almost a better character in this movie than many of the other ones.
It is his character development, probably.
Yes.
Did anyone catch who the dog was credited in the credits at, voiced by?
Yes, Frank Welker. I love
Frank
that.
Welker. Yes. I did not know. He does just about every cartoon voice out there.
Yeah, Megatron. I think Megatron would
be his most famous. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so awesome. But yeah.
I mean, the dog just barks. They could have done it, you know, just, well, I don't, they could just match up a dog bark to that. It's not like he was Scooby doing it up.
No, but in fairness, I mean, at the, especially during the charade scene, he does have to kind of go, you know, I do a terrible, like, Frank Welker's better than me. but yeah, that.
You should get t-shirts with that printed on it.
That's why he's a pro, man. That's why he's a pro.
Yeah, exactly. But that scene right there, that there is no question that I marked that one in my brain for the what the
and it's
moment.
Long that is like a 5-minute scene.
Here's the thing, this is what almost breaks the whole thing, is that meanwhile the bad guy team should theoretically be on their way to winning the competition, and these guys are fucking playing charades with a dog for another 40 minutes and then they have to go save their buddy for another hour. Yeah. And
why did the dog have to, you know, describe, like, he staked out downriver?
Well, like, for the same reason.
Why is this, why is that necessary that he staked out? Like, downriver is all we really need, or
down river. But
this dog does not tell you how to do your job. Don't tell him how to do his.
That's right. That's
hey,
the same.
Yeah, that's what I'm sitting here thinking. Hey, did they figure out what he meant? Good enough.
Yeah, that's the same reason that the dog decided to rip off his underwear and replace it with an army helmet, because he had to show them something. Might as well, you know, and the underwear was the only thing he had. Sure, he could have just led them there. But nope, he had to.
Fuck. If he had just left them there, they would have got there an hour quick.
Yes. And we wouldn't have had Stephen first sniffing, and being like,
That was my big question. Was there some sort of relationship between the alcoholic and Stephen first? Because the smelling of the underwear
really
from the river was a little weird.
More of a food guy. You remember at the beginning, he didn't want to drink at all. He was wanted to just eat, and they're like, "No, put away the food; it'll kill you."
No. Steve, he said the other guy.
Yes, the alcoholic.
Okay. No, I mean, they established that Stephen first has an incredible nose because he recognizes the bullies, the rich kids from their cologne. They all wear the same cologne.
Your development.
Yep. But anyways,
that's character arc right there. That's the checkoff. If you put a gun on the wall, you use it by the third act. Well, if you have him smell something particular in the first act, you then have to have him smell something in the third act.
Actually, the dog was much more helpful in the next scene than Stephen first was.
He was clearly smarter.
Now, like, Stan, I know it's been a long time. Did you actually get? Have a number there.
I was just trying to say it, but it's okay. I was going to go with a 7.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going with the 7 for the stuff we just mentioned, and the mere premise of this film is freaking insane.
A different category for that, you know.
I know, but I mean, it is a WTF
scoring category.
It is a WTF. Sorry. Okay. You mind your scores, I'll mind mine.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just mentioning you do know that the final category is that. Holy shit. Okay, well, I'm going to go with an 8, largely for every single thing that that happens with the military academy. It's like a living cartoon, Looney Tunes cartoon. I especially like when the guy gets flown, the leader, the captain or whatever, gets flown away, like slingshotted away, way far away. And then like 20 minutes later, they're both ahead of the raft, which is moving really fast, and they've set up this giant boulder that they can tip over and roll onto it. But they got that boulder in place, but from there they can't move it at all. And it ends up rolling back over on top of them.
And on top of their Jeep, I might add.
Yes, yes.
I actually assumed story
them again. That also doesn't slow them down from getting ahead of them again, the fact their Jeep was rolled over. That to me is such a what the fuck, that whole moment, but all the military moments, but especially that one.
Well, I don't know what's left to mention after all of that. there just is that undercurrent of silly. The big finale of this movie is that they actually they blow up the river. The military guys, in an attempt to have no one win the race, decide they're going to actually explode the river, which is hilarious. I think it's amazing that they just
lots of budget.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's right. That's right. And I watched the music video for Up the Creek by Cheap Trick.
Oh yeah.
The ending of the video for Up the Creek is the ending of this movie. So the river gets exploded. Basically, they redirect it, somehow sending it uphill to be higher than it was before. And the river comes down and goes through the judge's house. It explodes.
Everything explodes. So
apparently, it's full of white phosphorus,
had like two fucking suitcases of high explosives to hand them for $5,000. I just assume in his house, in his fucking basement, that's probably all he's got is military grade artillery.
He could have died in that explosion. I just assumed this movie did not have a body count, but it might. And that poor innocent girl who was naked beside him. Wow.
She knew what she was getting into.
Hey, look, I don't have a lot of trivia for the movie, in fact, as so far as you notice, but nerd alert time for this song. I got a shit ton for the song. If you want it now, or
somebody
to bring it up again.
I'm going to give this a 7 and then you get into the music.
Dude, because I love this song. I'm up the creek. I'm up the creek. Although I've lost a little ground.
Though I have lost a little ground. I'm up the creek. Though you have pulled the plug on me.
Oh, wow, he knows them all.
There's more than one fish in the sea. I'm not about to let it be. I know that I'm up the creek.
So I've heard rumor that Cheap Trick actually hates this song.
Well, the exact quote is when he was asked, Bunny Carlos was asked why he's the archivist and the original drummer for the band. He was asked why he never appeared on any compilation albums. His quote was, "'Cause it sucks." And Rick Nielsen, who's the lead guitarist and the songwriter, he said,
star of the video.
Star of the video. Well, he said our video was the worst video we've ever done, and we've done some bad, bad videos. That one took the cake, though. The worst. And in the same interview, when asked about it, he goes, "Now that was a bad song. I co-wrote that. No, wait, let's see. I can't remember. Maybe I actually wrote the whole thing. Man, I must have been high. That was one of the worst songs. Put it this way. It was one of the worst songs that's ever been out. Song-wise, it fit right in with the movie."
Nice.
I fucking love it. There's also a rumor that there was also a music video done for Playboy that they shot it with the girls topless and full nudity, but that says on Wikipedia citation needed. So I'm a little skeptical that the music would have that video would have that much more nudity than the movie.
Well, it's interesting that they, I mean, the video actually is fairly risque. There's a spot where if the water was a little clearer, you'd see nipples. So like, you know, they would have had to be careful on that. So I can see someone remembering that existed, but it not actually existing, which
that's very possible.
Common enough. Yeah, someone remembers that they think they saw it.
It's sort of like what Nick was saying about him in the hot tub scene.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That he remembers there not being nudity in that scene despite the fact that there is. Yeah. All right. We're into our next category, which is called memorable moments.
Well, we just talked about it. The most memorable moment for me, it's the one that I remember from the early days. It's them coming down on the raft right through the guy's house. That is a very memorable moment. But otherwise, I did not remember a damn thing from this movie. So I'm going to give it a 5.
All right.
I'm going with a 7. This is a very quotable film. I mean, of course I'd lie to you. I'm a guy.
That's a great one. That's a great quote.
They really did build a lot of great stuff around McGraw.
And he pulls off every line. I mean, some of them out of a lesser actor's mouth would not have punctuated quite as well. Did I give a score? A 7.
7.
Yeah, I got an 8 for this. I mean, I think the Bob McGraw character is very iconic, very well known. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of Bill Murray in that, but that's confident kind of everything kind of always breaks his way character, you know, who's just always got the quick comeback and everything. Like, that character is just perfect, and he does a great job with it. Michael Keaton was originally approached for the role and turned it down, and then Steve Guttenberg was cast and decided right before filming to drop out and do Police Academy. To do Police Academy. So it worked out best for everybody involved, right?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And that means they had the money to do this film before they signed two Animal House actors.
Yeah, that's true. The fact that it ended up being two Animal House actors ended up really as a coincidence, because it was a last minute thing to get Tim Matheson in. But the music we already mentioned, like I say, there's the quotes. How about my favorite being unidentified flying asshole? I think it's a really memorable film. 8.
All right. Well, I remember a lot of this film. I remember, you know, it is a VHS, near to my heart. The romance between Tim Matheson and Jennifer Runyon, I think, it's kind of sweet. Like, they jump into bed really fast, but, she actually does not take her top off. It's really treated as a romance. She ends up part of the team at the end, which I don't know is legal, but I mean, nothing else.
Like, what?
Yeah. No. But I mean, you know,
but then again,
who's counting by the end?
They're just saving her life.
Rules are broken.
my favorite McGraw exchange is at the very beginning. He's talking to the headmaster or whatever, the president of the school. And he says, "You've got the wrong guy." And the president says, "Not so fast, McGraw." And Matheson says, "Okay, you've got the wrong guy."
Yes. That is excellent.
And, you know, we mentioned Bill Murray for it. I mentioned Bill Murray for it because there's that. In Spain, it was actually marketed as Meatballs 2. And for a long time in Spain, that threw off the numbering of the rest of the meatballs, because it continued to be part of their for a long time, part of the canon. So, canon in Spain.
Which is funny, because the actual Meatballs 2 is a renamed movie as well. Like, the U.S.
I know.
It's a renamed movie that wasn't going to be Meatballs 2. I think all of the Meatballs movies after one. No, 2 is, 2 was the real sequel, and 3 and 4, I think. Anyway, I'm sure we'll get to them.
Yes, we will.
All right, our final category we call Crazy Concept.
This one didn't feel too crazy to me. I mean, the fact that you've got 4 idiots. Well, we just watched 2 movies that had 4 idiots, but the rafting race you know, that by itself is a little different, and the fact that the different hijinks, especially the military academy, that kind of throws it in. I'm gonna go middle of the road though with a 5.
Wow, I can't disagree with you more on that. If I was a studio exec and you brought me this pitch, I would call you names, mean names. Like moron, idiot. How could you? I mean, this college students who can't
feel free and call Stan those names anyways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you already are really. So
yeah,
go
home. No. If you brought me this pitch, because I mean, college students who will get kicked out of college if they can't win a weight rafter race. Are they good at weight rafting? Have they ever done it before? No, they're just the retards of the school. I would not. No. This, if I was in charge, this movie would not get made. 8.
Who you got to star in it? I've got Tim Matheson. Is he playing the dad? Like is.
Oh man, you know, I was gonna give it a 5. You have pumped me up a little bit there. I didn't, number one, I was caught off guard with this category because I didn't know there was a crazy concept. I thought there was what the fucks were, but
come on, this movie does not make any sense on paper.
No, I think the very fact that somebody would say, hey, let's do a teen sex comedy. Let's place it on the water. So we need to spend 7 times the money we would actually need to make to do this otherwise.
I mean, you can make this movie about ping pong and it wouldn't really make a huge difference.
No, and be much cheaper.
This feels a lot like Jocks, where like you have the overall structure, and then it's like, okay, well, we'll do a football movie. No, it was just a football movie from from Paramount. And like, okay, well, what's another team sport? Like, I don't know. We could do tennis. I don't know. They just did Jocks, so we can't have this right after Jocks. So
all right, the sports were taken, so let's go with one that'll be expensive to shoot.
I'm only gonna go with a 5. I don't know if I actually said my memorable moan score, which is a 9. All right, which brings us to our secret modifiers. Every season we have 6 modifiers, 3 plus.
Also secret by episode 8.
Yes, if you have tuned in, then you have been able to piece together. You heard 5 of them in one episode, so you should be able to work this out. You're having that game of Clue with only 2 people, where it's pretty easy to sort out. Okay, so this does get a -1 because it is over 95 minutes long, but it gets a +1 back because there is nudity within the first 5 minutes at 3 minutes 25 seconds in, which gives it a very respectable total of 64 out of 100.
Yeah, that's about right. That sounds perfect.
I want to give one more number before I close up the octagon. I kept track over the course of the season. I did not tell the other hosts I was doing this. I kept track over the entire season. And if you watched all 8 movies with us, which you should have, you would have seen 72 different women topless.
Wow. That is very impressive.
As people are like, why did they choose that for season 2?
And suddenly, you know, you have completely illustrated why we did this. Perfect.
More nice than 25% of them were in hot. Yeah.
plus, we also got that many in Raw Force.
Man, oh man. I mean, that's, you know, close to the number of Raw Force. This is the data that keeps on giving right there. Oh boy. How awesome. How awesome.
That's that's 142, sorry, individual boobs.
44.
No, it's 144.
It would be actually 100. I think it's only 143 because there's the principal's wife. You only see one nipple.
That's
shame. We should watch Total Recall and make up for that.
Yeah,
right, we can work out the average.
All right. Well. What we promised last episode that we were gonna announce all of our season three, because we had announced Wolf Guy as the first movie for Monster Chiller Horror Theater. And so I think we'll just announce all of the rest right now, because on that set date that we drop them, we'll be dropping all of them. All right, so first, of course, we got Wolf Guy. Second, we have Dracula versus Frankenstein. Next, Tales of the Mummy. Moving on to Frankenstein Island. Finally, Monster Squad. And then Frankenstein Conquers the World. To Dracula AD 1972. And finishing off Season 3, Monster Chiller Horror Theater with Frankenhooker. All right. I know
this
that I am
fantastic.
I am totally looking forward to this, because these are basically all of the Universal Horror characters, and it's basically what the fuck have you done to my Universal Horror characters? And that's what we're going to be dealing with in season 3. So, happy Halloween, everybody.
And weigh in, let us know, what do you want us to review movie-wise or season-wise in the future? And where can they do that, Jim?
You can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And when you want to talk about the B movies in your life, the ones you love, use hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. The We Talk Podcasts guys have sites and thingies up on those platforms.
Perfect. Sites and thingies. Well, sites, I got to say that I disagree with Cheap Trick, because I like I'm Up the Creek.
Up the Creek. I'm Up the Creek. I'm Up the Creek. I'm Up the Creek. Oh, sure, man. But the lyric, did you got the lyrics right?
you're so close to Robin Sander.
I think you should look those up.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody have anything else to add before we say goodbye to season 2?
Boobies.
All right.
Goodbye, season 2.
Goodbye, boobies.
Well, the one question that I want to ask you is, was it as good for you as it was for me? All right. Okay. For Brad, who I don't know if he's going to make it from his whitewater rafting trip, so you will have to turn into season 3 to make sure that he is still alive. But anyways, for Brad, for Jim, for Jack, for Nick, I am 8th Dan Stan Adu, and thank you so much for tuning in to Season 2, Nerds, Jocks, and Preppies. We look forward to seeing you for Season 3, Monster Chiller Horror Theater. This is Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!